Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host Scott Tilford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Happy Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yes, Wednesday will definitely be the day this thing goes live. And Ash Millman.
Hello, I'm also here.
Who is slightly of a bit of an ill man.
I am a little bit of an ill man.
That's why we've got the distance.
Yeah,
hopefully we'll survive this podcast.
Ashley Illman.
Yes, so E3 is going to start. I mean, a lot of the different conferences and different plans are already rolling out this week, but the big stuff is this weekend. Microsoft is Sunday night. You can come and watch me and Jules. We're going to do a live stream thing for it on Sunday evening. Plug. We also, for the sake of plugs, have Josh is doing another last minute rumors thing at the end of this week.
Yep.
But he's literally waiting the last possible second so he can get the freshest stuff. So that'll be towards the end of the week. But now, though, I've just gathered up a whole bunch of the juiciest, the fanciest leaks and rumors because it's E3 season and it's just fun to talk about these things. So some of this stuff is pretty much definitely going to happen, the likes of Microsoft and their new consoles, and other stuff is just wish fulfillment type jazz. So I've got a whole bunch of different things. The first one is a Dino Crisis reboot. Now, I brought this up because I love Dino Crisis. Do you guys even know what Dino Crisis is?
I know what it is. I've never played it before, but it came up in a list one time, and oh my goodness, it looks pretty bonkers.
Do you like dinosaurs, mate?
I do like dinosaurs.
Do you like Resident Evil, mate?
I do like Resident Evil. There you go,
that's all you need.
Isn't it like the whole bit from Jurassic Park when they're in the kitchen and it's the raptor's foot going deep?
Pretty much.
That's like how I imagine it every time. I didn't play it either, so I'm glad that there's a reboot coming so I can be like, jump on this wagon.
This thing isn't confirmed, but there's this Twitter account called Evil VR that tends to tweet different rumors and stuff, and that person, whoever it is, has always been spot on so far with what they suggested. They reported on Resident Evil 7 before it was confirmed and things like that. Also, a Spanish website called Generation Xbox has a whole bunch of E3 leaks that originally came from Reset Era, then apparently they've typed them up and sort of semi-corroborated them. Whatever, it's an excuse to talk about these things. One of the things on there is the Dino Crisis reboot, which personally I would love because, like you said, that game used to always just feel like they took the coolest moments from Jurassic Park and just went, wouldn't it be cool if a T-Rex was in your face? And you're like, yes, it would. So I will take an HD version of that. What do you think of that?
That's a believable rumor.
Yes.
Like, a lot of these things that come up, you're just like, well, really? No, will that happen though? But no, that is believable. They are absolutely going down nostalgia these days with remasters and reboots and re-this and re-that. So yeah, I'd say that's a good show.
Plus, we all played a good chunk of the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Yes.
And another thing that goes alongside this, which is a different rumor, is that we're getting a Resident Evil 3 remake. They're just going to work their way through it.
Given.
Yeah. But I want them to take the general look and the feel of Resi 2 and just do that with dinosaurs. Give me velociraptors and everything else.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know, what do you think of dinosaurs versus Resident Evil?
I mean, I'd play that.
I would play the dino version more.
I would say, literally, you keep saying dinosaurs versus Resident Evil, I'm like,
dinosaurs, mate.
That's all you need. That's all you need. Like,
you don't have to convince us.
Yeah, literally. Like.
I guess the idea of it coming back is that's one of the only like sort of like B-tier kind of games that Capcom put out back in the day that people sort of know of, and that's about it. The Dino Crisis franchise across the 2000s kind of just shat itself and didn't do very well. But the first one was really good. The next thing I got down is Metroid Prime 4, which we got a logo for back in 2016.
And then since then they have confirmed, when was that? Last Christmas? That they've literally scrapped everything they've done so far.
Yes.
I think at this point I'd be quite surprised to see anything from Metroid Prime 4, but what is rumoured to be
coming? Well, that's just the thing that they might do a development update because, entire development was restarted. They gave it to a different dev, which is the team that did the first Metroid Prime trilogy.
Yeah.
They haven't worked on Metroid since 2007. Metroid Prime 3 was 2007. But that team, apparently they've been restructured quite a lot, but they did do Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, which is a good
brilliant
game. So, I think that they'll do like a logo or something. coming, because I just think the Switch needs stuff to be associated with it going forward.
A teaser, I think, would be the smart thing to do. Would be to put out a teaser. Yeah.
Just have Samus walking out the darkness and being like, hey, by the way, I'm a big old mech woman.
Back. Yeah, and it's just like, don't forget about me, because that's kind of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Ash, as someone who doesn't own a Switch, does Metroid entice you at all?
Not really.
Why not, mate?
I love the historical relevance of Metroid as a thing and the whole Samus stuff. Like, I think it's fantastic, but it's whammon. Whammon, I love them. But yeah, it's just not my bag. But I'm very excited that it's come back and seen the hype around it. I love people being excited about games. So seeing this, I was like, oh, it's so lovely seeing everyone getting like Metroid Fireball.
Yeah, it's just like there's. I didn't put Animal Crossing down on this, but it seems like they would show off their newest Animal Crossing. Mm. The weird thing with Animal Crossing is that one dev talked about something involving animals coming, and someone else talked about something involving some crossing coming, and they both worked for Nintendo. And it was like, well, okay, so that clearly means you're going to combine the two.
Yeah, that's a given.
But that's the thing. Going forward, the Switch kind of needs some big top tier titles. I mean, we've got Zelda, we've got Mario.
I mean, especially with we have a Pokemon Direct at time of recording tomorrow.
Yes.
Sword
and Shield, you
so
might say.
We it's safe to say we won't be getting much for Pokemon, by the way, like in the E3 conference. Mm-hmm. So pretty much all they've got at the minute is Animal Crossing. So I would say
Animal Crossing and Metroid is enough for Nintendo to sort of like just do stuff, because they've been quite mysterious so far with what their E3 conference is going to center on. Mm. Let's talk about Microsoft, because that's their big deal this year. It's
good
their conference
Mike.
To lose. Big old Michael coming slamming in. Because yeah, Sony's not going to be there, and unless they do like a big old banter move and just like stream something alongside E3, which I would love. I would love the sheer BDE on that. If they just had a Sony live stream as Microsoft are attempting to do their best thing. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff to unpack for Microsoft. But the thing to talk about first is that they're apparently going to be dropping two new consoles, which we've covered before. Yeah. But what do you guys think of that in terms of an approach to a new generation? There's going to be a consumer level one and a premium one.
I'm excited to see them, but like it feels so soon. It feels I'm like, oh my god, are we already at the next generation? Like, I know it's been ages, but I'm also like, I'm not ready.
I would actually have to disagree with you. I feel like as far as Microsoft consoles go, they've given up a while ago.
Maybe.
They brought out the Xbox One X and they really tried to push this as being, you know, the best console ever, but it just didn't sell. I mean, the diehards got it. The people that could afford it got it. And the people that knew the difference got it. But I think with Microsoft, they have been thinking about the next thing for a long time. Mm-hmm.
I mean, my thing with Xbox is like, obviously, like it does for me. I'm kind of with both of you, because I do think that 2013 doesn't seem that long ago. That was when The Last of Us came out and Bioshock Infinite.
When you say the name, I'm like, Jesus.
It's been many a year.
But like.
Not that long ago. But then somehow GTA 5 being in 2013 seems like an eon ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that was when this generation sort of started. And like, yeah, I think that obviously they've had a disastrous generation. It's about time that they sort of just compartmentalized it and moved on. But that idea of embracing like two systems from the get-go, like which one do you see you guys getting? Because I would like the premium one, but
I want the one that does everything, like, because it's the Anaconda and the
Lockhart. Yeah.
Which one is the streaming only one?
That was the Xbox One S that just came out. That was like a discless thing.
What's the difference between these two then?
Well, it's just meant to be more that they would support like higher resolutions and stuff. I haven't got the full spec breakdown. It's more the idea of the two systems.
So like we've got at the minute with the X and with the base Xbox. Yeah.
But that idea that that they would sort of come out the gate with this like sort of more like fairly priced thing that everybody can get in on. And then if you want your Xbox One X or PS4 Pro, you can splash out and get your 8K resolutions.
Anaconda's definitely the big like posh one, isn't it? Like
it might be.
Want none unless you got burnt, hun.
I guess I like the idea of it. I think that it's a good way for them to sort of like sit at both sides of the market, because this generation was the first time that we saw like the PS4 Pro and they sort of split what they're offering. It's just weird because it means that the gaming industry is getting into like a tech side of things. Yeah. Where I mean, in the tech industry, we have a different phone every year, and I don't want a different Xbox every single year. I don't want them to.
But then it has also been 6 years since we got.
Yeah.
I know all the little like spin-off ones come around, like PS4 Pro and Xbox with X and all this sort of thing. But I think for the actual like base, like, oh my god, this is the generation model that takes so long to get to them, or it feels like it takes so long to get to them.
Yeah.
That I don't think we'd ever have one every year that people would actually want to be investing in, you know what I mean?
I still think it's a weird sell. Like, they had the same thing with the Pro, where it's just sort of like, we need you to buy this new system, it's totally worthwhile, but it totally doesn't replace the thing that you've got.
Whoops.
So it's like, you can't really do both at the same time.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they have to get across in their 2-hour conference. Another thing is that obviously they need a whole bunch of exclusives, because like this generation, they had next to none, let's say. So there's a handful of things that are being rumored to show up on their stage. Gears of War 5. Mm. I don't even know how much the Gears of War IP has any pull.
Oh, it It does not.
It does to
but
me.
I'm still excited. I'm still excited to see what 5 is going to be about because, mm-hmm. like, if this is their, this is one of their, like, legacy things, isn't it? So it's watching them bosh that out will be nice to see where they're going to take it, how they're going to reinvigorate us to this sort of new shiny Gears of War.
I just, the thing with Gears was that, like, back in the day, like, it was the big deal because they perfected third-person combat. Yeah. You can snap into cover and whatever. And I just wonder whether its time is done. So I think we'll get Gears of War 5.
Yeah.
And they've done, like, three, it's like Gears 5, Gears Tactics, and Gears Pop Vinyl are the three Gears games that we're getting because, oh dear God, 2019.
Jeez.
And so once they're out of the way, I think that'll be it. But we've also got Fable coming back as well. So we can talk about Fable for a bit. The weirdest thing with the Fable thing is that if the rumors are all true, they've given the IP to Playground Games, which is the Forza people.
Nothing has been confirmed for Fable so far.
No. The weird thing with that is that Kotaku were doing a write-up on the new Bioshock being worked on. And in the write-up, they were just like, oh yeah, like, you know, we're talking to these different devs that are working on Bioshock. Mm-hmm. And in the write-up, it was like, and just next door, the next Fable's being made.
Oh,
and it was like,
okay. Yeah, there was like, sorts of rumors for ages, wasn't there?
By the way.
It's the Leamington Spa studio, if you remember. From the old podcast, Leamington Spa, that's where they're making it.
Leamington Spa's big year is 2019.
Yes,
but so that was kind of one of the things. But that then like sort of lined up with the idea that Playground have been given the Fable IP to do something with. You have to like follow the breadcrumb trailers to those developers talking about. An English studio was working on it and it ended up being them. But what do you guys think of that? Like, do you think it'll be a total reboot or will they try and do Fable 4?
It's going to be a Kinect game.
Oh God, Fable the Journey 2.
No, I think it would be very, very smart, very good thing to do, make a new Fable RPG. That would be a really strong selling point for their new Xbox. Absolutely, I think that's a good idea.
You think Fable still has pull?
Yes, of course. Everybody, I think Fable 3 was one that hit and miss with people a little bit, didn't it?
Wasn't good.
I would say I hated Fable 3.
I enjoyed it because I enjoy everything bad. But Fable 1 and 2 were like founding pillars of RPG experience.
Totally, yeah.
They were fantastic. And I think having one off game isn't enough to kill a franchise anymore, especially with the actual weight of Fable like 1 and 2. So if they can do that again with 4. And I remember Jules talking about Fable Legends and
stuff.
Yeah,
he got to play it, yeah.
Yeah, he said that was fantastic. And it was really coming back to all the things that Fable was about. So if they've got that sort of reworked idea, that would be amazing. Noises about it.
My thing is
much
like
excitement.
I always loved Fable. Like I remember because I never followed. Remember all the lies, all the hypes, all the trailers that came out before the first one, and it was like, oh, if you plant a seed, you can grow a tree, and if you like, you know, have a child, and they'll grow up. I never had all those because I wasn't following them trailer by trailer. So when I played the first Fable, I just loved it. I didn't have anything to compare it to, and I know that it's like had like a weird reputation because of that. But then from then, I think Fable 2 is one of the best RPGs ever made, with so much character and like I like the stuff that Peter Molyneux like brought to the table, kind of thing. I think a lot of the Englishness that makes Fable came from him because he's such a quirky dude, but he's not involved in the new one.
Thank God.
I mean, really?
The man's been a bit naughty.
He has been a bit, he's been all over the place.
A bit of a liar, isn't he? Bit of a liar.
Yeah.
So,
but his English is crumpets.
Hey, there's lots of many lovely Englishmen. I'm sitting right next to one right now.
I'll make a Fable game.
I'm sure they will find another nice
game. It'll be called Shovel Knight.
And to be honest, fresh eyes on Fable is not a bad thing because, like Ash mentioned, 3 wasn't amazing.
He's right.
John Cleese is a good butler, isn't it? He's just, when you pause the game, it takes a few seconds to get to the menu. But the idea was kind of cool. But still, I think if they're going to do do this whole like revamped version of Fable in a gaming industry where you have like big, massive AAA open world stuff, Elder Scrolls and whatever, do we think that'll just be the biggest version possible?
Well, I think what I'd want, rather than what I think, is I'd want Fable to maintain its like doableness of it being quite a tight world that's full of very interactable characters and like have loads of people who have individuality and all that sort of thing that you can do your weird dance on, your weird sex up of, and like have it really like detailed but in a manageable scale.
Package.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to be able to kick chickens and then people to realise that I'm kicking chickens and then call me chicken chaser.
Oh, God.
They never call you chicken kicker, did they? It was always chicken chaser.
It's like the Elder Scrolls where you shoot the chicken in the middle of a little village and they're all like, excuse me.
And then for the rest of your whole time on that earth, that's all you're known for.
Yeah, literally.
You can save the realm, but that's all you ever did. The next thing down is this game called Bleeding Edge. Now, this is an IP that Ninja Theory filed for. Now, you just played Hellblade.
I keep looking over here. Like,
I know you know the thing with the stuff. So Microsoft announced, I think it was at the end of last year, that they were buying a whole bunch of studios. They bought Obsidian and In Exile, and then they bought Ninja Theory. Mm-hmm. And there's a few other ones as well. So Ninja Theory, like I said, just did Hellblade, they did Heavenly Sword. They're sort of known for doing like I don't know, like double A games, like they're sort of known enough, but they're never, for me, they never really get the full recognition that they potentially deserve. So yeah, they're essentially making something for Microsoft, we can assume, because they filed this new IP called Bleeding Edge. What do you think of them as a studio? Do you think they're a good like fit kind of thing?
Oh, I really liked Hellblade. It was really good. I liked all the different elements to it, but that it was very like streamlined as well. Like I boshed through it in a day because I was like, oh, it's doable. So I like that kind of element of what they
have. I think if you put them alongside something like a new Fable, then assumedly whatever Ninja Theory do will be more like a more personal tale. Like they go down the route of motion capture and lots of like dialogue heavy stuff.
You mean like if two new Microsoft exclusives were announced and it was these two?
Yes.
Yeah, for variety, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I just think that I think Microsoft needs something in their catalog that can contend with the Naughty Dogs and the Sony exclusives.
They need a good RPG, don't they?
Yeah, or just something with like a lovable cast, or like they need someone that they can put on their montage adverts or sizzle reels or whatever, where you go, oh, that's that person from that game from Ninja Theory. And it's probably about time that Ninja Theory got some love as well.
Yeah.
Another new thing is that Rare are apparently making a new IP, who made Sea of Thieves and Conquer and Perfect Dark and whatever
else. Sea of Thieves was great, wasn't it? Wonderful.
Yeah, you're doing the opposite thing again.
No, but that was actually bad. That was sarcasm.
Sea of Thieves has made a bit of a like resurgence recently. Yeah. A lot of my friends have been playing it. It looks fun. Mm-hmm. Still not for me, but
I loved the first 20 minutes of Sea of Thieves. I thought that was brilliant. Like going on a ship with all your mates and you're all like, I'm going to go up the, what do you call the crow's nest?
A mast.
Well,
crow's nest at the top, yeah.
And you sort of go, oh, there's an island over there, and you sort of pin it, and then someone puts a little marker on the treasure map and you can all see it and you're working as a pirate crew. I think Rare have always had a whole bunch of awesome ideas and they haven't been great since the 90s, but
that's the thing.
Overdue.
I wonder if Rare were great back then and they've maybe just not like moved.
They were totally awesome back in the Banjo-Kazooie days.
But do you know what is making a comeback is nostalgia, remasters, is all these kind of old style of games. I mean, look at how good the Spyro remaster is,
for example.
That plays, well, exactly like the originals. It's a proper old game. So if we were to have a new game from Rare that was in lieu of like, oh my God, can you imagine if they just made a new Banjo-Kazooie?
Yeah,
that
would work. It's not ukulele. If like, they can, like, yeah, that's the thing.
Oh yeah, oh, I forgot.
Think about
what
they bring to the table. Like if you have, I don't know, you got your big Fables, you got your big Gears of War, you got your big macho, dumb action stuff, which I love, all that stuff. And then next to that, you've kind of got the Ninja Theory, the more contemplative, like dialogue heavy, narrative heavy. And then next to that, you have something that's maybe like a platformer or something. I mean, I would argue that the demographic or the need is there again for platformers after Spyro and Crash and everything.
That was just me agreeing, but I was going to say look at Celeste, but that wasn't like a proper platformer.
Like, considering that was in the award season, it's like at least people are kind of game for more 2D and 3D platformers. 100. Where at the start of the generation it was like, oh God, everything is a pixel platformer. Yeah. But they're actually really good.
Yeah.
So let's switch over to Nintendo, who apparently also have two new consoles to debut.
Yeah, this has been a kind of circulating the internet for a while now. They're going to release like a Switch kind of pro kind of style that's got like a high resolution screen. It's going to be like a little bigger, I guess.
Yeah, according to like that's the thing. Apparently, there's the smaller one is the cheaper one where it's all one form factor, like a PS Vita, where
so
it's all solid.
The Joy-Con don't come off.
Yeah, which I think is strange because it'll make some things unplayable.
That's a good idea.
It's definitely a great idea, but it means like World of Goo or anything that like you need motion controls for wouldn't work.
Everyone needs World of Goo. It's a must buy.
I mean, it's really good. I'm not. Have you played it? You should play the World of Goo. There's a lot of world, a lot of goo. It's really good.
But then how would you play it docked? Anyway, so this is sort of more...
Actually, you play it with a touchpad. So you make a good point. Just use a touchpad. Forget what I said. I don't need the motion controls at all.
I think for a proper form-fitted small one is one that would actually interest me in buying a Switch. As someone who doesn't have a Switch, that would interest me because I hate motion controls. And just Joy-Con snapping off everywhere and doing all this random stuff. I think a little form-fitted, like PS Vita-style one would actually be...
Or you could just buy a Vita.
To my taste.
Just buy a Vita.
I could, but then... Other things.
They're really good.
Other things.
You can play the PS1 games on them and stuff. But yeah, so the idea being that one of the potential Switch models would be like a locked-in thing. I think if they can match the form factor of the Vita, like I much prefer the Vita's size to the Switch. Like when I'm playing the Switch on the train, I'm like elbowing people out the way so I can hold it.
I could probably imagine you with your Joy-Cons around and be like, guys, come on, I'm playing tennis.
Shovel Knight. But it's like, that's the thing. I think if they can make it, if they can like completely nail the portable side, because they've discontinued the 3DS now anyway, or they're moving towards that anyway and replace that with one of the versions of the Switch. What do you think, Ray? As a Switch fan.
I think, actually, just thinking about what they're likely to announce, because E3 is usually quite big for them. And at the minute, as far as we know, they've only got Animal Crossing and maybe Metroid Prime 4, mm-hmm. if they even show Animal Crossing.
I still hope they do the backwards compatibility thing. Mm. Be like, here's some N64 games.
Yeah, that would be good. But yeah, I'd say like that is a very believable rumor that mm-hmm. they will finally come out with this like second Switch version. The Switch has been out for 2 and a bit years now.
Yeah.
March 17 it came out. So I only just replaced the Joy-Con on mine. They've done well.
Hey. Nice. I bought some Splatoon ones.
Me too, man.
They're pretty good.
So that's the thing you were starting to say before, is that the other half of this rumor is that they have the cheaper all-in-one form factor one and another one that's meant to be like a deluxe premium version. Mm. That, well, apparently there's a whole bunch of stats for this because it's from a report from Gamepedia that the onboard storage is going to go up to 128 gig, mm-hmm. Which is a hell of a lot more because the one that we have now is only 32, which means that some games can't even fit on it. Yeah.
32 is very small.
It's pretty bad,
Nintendo games tend to be quite small.
Mm-hmm. But still.
But then third parties put Doom and Wolfenstein on there and you couldn't even install them unless you bought a micro SD.
Micro SDs are quite cheap these days, but you shouldn't have to buy one to, yeah. So yeah, I think that is a big yes.
So there's a whole bunch of storage. There's an 8 gig RAM, which I think is double what the Switch has. So assuming everything will run smoother.
Sure, yeah.
I think the Switch runs pretty well anyway, though, at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's got like, see, as far as like, was it you that was talking about the pause, the time it takes to pause the game and go to the home screen? Mm-hmm. The Switch is like instant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it runs on like a Tegra processor, which is like a mobile phone processor. So it tends to like unlock itself as quick as phones do, which I love. Apparently, the premium one will support 4K, which isn't a deal breaker for me, but I guess it's Nintendo catching up to everybody else.
4K Nintendo, right.
Do you want 4K Breath of the Wild,
though? Is
that
good for, like, docking, or is that just on the little...
Well, that's the thing. It'll be, 4K docked, and the handheld one will go up from 720p to 1080p.
That'll be nice.
Handheld 1080p.
Yeah. That'll be nice.
The weird thing is, because we talked about this before we came in, that in a Forbes interview, Nintendo's president said that they don't plan on announcing any hardware at E3, but that's kind of gone back and forward. So
I think if they don't, they better pull something out of the bag.
How are they going to fill time without it?
It's E3, man, and like they Nintendo kind of do their own thing anyway. So if they didn't have something big to show, I don't think they would do E3. Mm. They always do their little treehouse events anyway. So
yeah.
I think they've got to have something.
I just think it's been 2 years and it's about time. And they'll obviously have iterated on it like in their factories and warehouses and stuff. They will have a new version of the Switch. Yeah. Just the way technology works.
If you look at how quickly they started replacing the 3D. The DS and then the 3DS and then the 3DS XL and then the 2DS and those came out like a year apart, like pretty much.
Do you, because you said you might be interested in the cheaper all-in-one do you think you'd upgrade to the premium one, the 4K version? I might. I want Breath of the Wild in 4K, mate.
You definitely will.
My 50-inch TV.
I play my Switch so much. If I'm able to, like, safely and easily migrate all my save data over my 150 hours, my 200 hours of Pokemon, 150 at Zelda.
Have you lost your shiny in Let's Go?
Oh, my God. If I lost my shiny, I would... Oh, God.
Tell the people how many catches it took you to get that shiny.
10,375 trades.
Very proud of it.
Wow.
Very proud of it.
Well, I'm like... Oh,
it's a hell of a feat.
Pokemon.
It's very good. So, so potentially we've got Microsoft debuting new hardware. We've got Nintendo potentially debuting new hardware. Sony aren't going to be there. So the rest of these things, I've got something for Ubisoft, but we've talked about this before, but there's potentially a game being made by J.J. R. Martin and From Software. Yeah. So it's kind of like...
Rune.
Yeah, Great Rune. Oh, well, it's codenamed GR, which apparently stands for Great Rune. But like G.R. Rooney. So yeah, I guess it's like, does that drop in like a Microsoft conference or do we just see a random trailer for that alongside E3?
I'm going to say something really controversial here.
Go for it.
And I'm going to say, I really hope it's an Xbox exclusive.
Personally, I would love that.
Because, you're talking to the right people. Yeah, like
because Bloodborne, I love both, but Bloodborne was a PlayStation exclusive, and I know that sort of twiddles a lot of people's gears because they maybe only have an Xbox and they don't have a PlayStation. Mm-hmm.
It so twiddled my gear when it first came
twiddled
out.
Twiddled your gear, did it? Yeah.
But like something as big as that like would be great as an exclusive. Like, I mean, Sony had Bloodborne this generation, they had Spider-Man, they had these massive head-turning exclusives. Yeah. It is about time Microsoft threw some money at someone
it
and
will
got something.
Give them some weight to their actual, like, people to invest in the new consoles. That's something that would really like drop
a donk on it, mate.
Thank you.
Because take my word for it, like Souls people, Bloodborne people, they will buy this game. They will buy an Xbox for this game.
Plus, like, you look at From Software across the last few years, like they did Bloodborne for Sony and then they kind of went to Activision and did Sekiro. It's like the way that they're sort of handling themselves is quite intelligent and they seem to be going bigger and bigger. Like signing on to Microsoft for a Microsoft exclusive might be the next natural thing that they do. Mm. So the only things that are out for this came from a Gamatsu leak, which is that the game will be open world with horse riding and that you'll be able to acquire abilities from specific locations. Do you not want horse riding, mate?
It's just lovely. It's like Under the Red Dead, isn't it? Like, that's what it's going to be. Norse less red.
I was
maybe think of like
Witcher.
The Witcher. Yeah. I think of The Witcher 3.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it'll be. I guess it'll be like The Witcher's maybe a similar sort of analog in terms of the tone. Then you can throw in George Martin is apparently working alongside Hideaki Miyazaki, which is From Software's main
that
dude.
That is just the nerd in me is just gasming right
that
now. Just, oh my god,
that seems too crazy to be true.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, Martin is already king of the nerds.
I'm proper like gassed about. I don't even like Souls-like games, so I'm like, ooh.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think something like this, I don't know, do we think it would be easier because they're getting a way bigger audience? Like,
no.
They just think it'll be like it'll be as hard as Sekiro.
I think it will still really annoy me when I get it, is the thing. But no, I think if they've got this reputation to uphold, if it's From Software, they're going to be like...
I don't know how much harder you can make a game after Sekiro. Like, I know that it's not, like, it's way more timing-based. That's kind of what made it hard.
Oh, you mean like what they could do differently?
Yeah, yeah.
Horse combat, mate.
Yeah? Do you want to just nut some horses? But you got to get the timing a horse. I mean, I think it'll be horse
that
on horse.
That means something different here.
Horse on horse combat. They don't know what nutting means. Nut the horse, mate.
Okay, so yes, horse combat.
It's not Jackass the movie. What?
Horse combat is something they could do. next rumor.
Next rumor, if you want to move on from that one, is Ubisoft, who have quite a handful of stuff to be potentially debuted. Nut means headbutt.
Americans. Doing the head move. Literally.
That's what it means. Well, that's a treat for the people on the video side. But anyway, so the next thing I've got down is the Ubisoft stuff. Now this is a few different things. One thing that's rumored is the Ubisoft Pass. Apparently, they're going to debut a monthly pass where you'll pay some fee and you'll have access to their entire catalog. Do you not want another monthly pass, mate?
No, mate.
Why not?
No, because...
Do you not want Assassin's Creed? Far Cry?
I mean, tell you what, the only frame of reference I've got for this is obviously I did look into EA Access for a while. And tell you what, EA Access is really, really good value for money. Mm. It's like if you play all those games, if you like all the sports and all the EAs.
All the N's and the H's and the L's.
EA. So it's in the game.
It's in the monthly pass.
for people who do really like all these games, all your assassins, all your this, all your dogs.
I think if you play all them in one big row, you'll see how little's changed until it gets to Assassin's Creed Origins and then it's different again.
The only thing is, if they did do something like that, they could not make it expensive. It would have to be like max a fiver a month. Like,
what do you guys pay for an Ubisoft Pass?
Is that I would personally, yeah.
Is there not, like, I don't know, any old school Ubisoft? Because I think if they did everything on here, if you had the original Beyond Good and Evil and you sort of had all the Rayman games and, like, there's a way to sort of make it appealing.
If it was very cheap, then that would be appealing. But if they start ramping it up by going, going, whoa, nostalgia is making us money, baby. Then you're going to be like, excuse me, no, thank you. I'm just going to buy the titles.
The original Assassin's Creed and Assassin's Creed 2 and that, you can pick up for like 99p.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So it's like,
I would assume they'd be the remastered versions.
You'd own it then as well. Like,
yeah. Mm. One of the things with that, which is just the cynic in me, is that if you have all, if you line up all the Ubisoft games, you would, like I said, even with Assassin's Creed, you'd see how little has changed. But across their whole pantheon of titles, you would just be like, well, they took this element and put this here.
Yeah.
And then this like aiming mechanic went over here. And there's a drone here, which is an owl in Far Cry. And then it's a drone again.
It's a portfolio.
I play all the games and they're so tiring.
They're nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've got a pretty good catalog. The next thing down is, we just, me and Jules just did news on this morning, but Watch Dogs Legion has leaked. Do you want more Watch Dogs, anybody?
I missed the Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs?
What Dogs? I did
not
Watch Dogs.
The Swatch Dogs.
No, I missed the Watch Dogs bandwagon and then played like little pieces of it. I was like, oh, this is
two's
cool.
Really good.
Yeah, it's all right. Like, so I think having another one come around, then maybe have honed their skills a bit more, because Watch Dogs came out, that again, another hit or miss title, and then 2 came out and was like, yo, this is banging. And so I think now that they've had a little bit of practice across those ones, this one could be,
I think they're in the
good.
Weirdest place with it, because the first one was the first massive disappointment of the generation. Yeah. Like a lot of new console sales were hung on that game. Yeah. It was like, oh, the next generation starts here. That was like the whole slogan thing. And obviously the first one wasn't very good. 2, I think, plays extremely well, but I just think the franchise is in a really weird spot.
I think, that's what you're saying. Like a lot of people, I think, were hung up on that and maybe couldn't quite forgive it after that, give it another chance. But if the rumors are true and what they're planning for this is you can play as any NPC.
Do you want to play as a city?
Now that is really interesting.
Like a building.
You could just be like, oh, I want to be a baker today, and you can go and bake some bread. Or you could be, I want to be
you're playing as a dude, but apparently you can recruit anybody. You can recruit any NPC, and apparently there's a staggering amount of voiceovers and animations and everything bringing this whole city to life.
I mean, that is something different, so that's definitely a good way to go about it. If it's true.
I will drop as well, when you said play as a building, you can do that in the game called Everything. But if you always play as a building, you can zoom out and play as a bunch of stars as well. You can play as anything.
Oh, that's,
and you can zoom all the way in.
Weren't they making that game?
Someone did make that game. You can play as a little ant.
I want to watch a dog league.
It's really good.
To do this.
If you zoom all the way in, you can play as an atom. Then you can zoom all the way out again and play as like stars and space.
That's what I want from Watch Dogs Legion, so it's going to be a disappointment either way now.
I know. I wish that's what they were doing. But yeah, so Legion. Watch Dogs Legion, apparently set in London, apparently, in a post-Brexit London. So they're getting very assumptive.
Oh, Jesus.
Big soft, getting all their goal assumptive about where they're going to go.
Slap us next time.
I know.
I love how they continually be like, we don't do political games, but it's in a post-Brexit London.
Which hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, cheers. But yeah, so apparently their big thing is that you can, you play as a character that can recruit anybody in the world, and that'll assumedly lead to more hacky-based fun. But I don't know if you guys played Watch Dogs 2 or anything, but
I played a bit of Watch Dogs 2. It was not terrible.
I would say that too. I would say it was not terrible. I had a good amount of fun with it. You can get a laptop and a drone and a little car and everything.
There are no dogs in it, though.
Are they not?
Nope.
None.
Watching for the dogs, but
oh, I see what you did. No. Are there not a single dog in Watch Dogs? There were some naked ladies at launch, and they had to patch them out, and it was like, why were they even in the game?
I mean, that's almost as good, so forget this.
I mean, you know, you take what you can get. What? You know, Mr. Scandal, it was just naked woman in Watch Dogs 2?
No, I just thought you... never mind. I was going to be like, dogs associated with women?
Good.
How dare you?
I was thinking more down the scandalous route, but near enough. So they will apparently show Beyond Good and Evil 2, because that's been in development for like 3 years now.
That's what you should have led with. Jesus.
What
that's
do you mean?
That's the good stuff.
I'm leading with a Dino Crisis, thank you very much.
No, to be fair. Beyond Good and Evil 2, I am so...
You guys seem really psyched for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
I'm gassed for Beyond Good and Evil 2. No, that was such a banger of PS2 game, though. Like, it was incredible. It was such good fun. It's lasted the years. Everyone is excited for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yep.
I'd never heard of the franchise until last year's E3 that they like.
They showed
I think it was the year before. I think it was 2017.
They first announced it a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
And I was like, "What is this game? Why is everyone so excited?
Is it Monkey in Space?"
I was like, "Oh my god, they remembered it exists!" Like,
no, that's really really cool. I think like I have like second hand hype off of that.
Yeah.
If you when you get back to your computer, look up the Mama Go Garage song, because it's the catchiest thing ever. And once you've heard it, you'll never not hear it. I'm not gonna do it now, but it's very very good.
If you haven't played it, Rach, go like if you as soon as you go in, it's like so immersive. You're in like this weird world. You look out and there's all these aliens in the sky, and you just take pictures of them and have a really chill time.
You got a little piggo.
Yeah, Paige, man. You try and like, hey.
A chill time. There's like a war on.
Okay, there's a big war. There's loads of fighting, and there's terrible terrible things, but you look out the window and you're like, oh, that's a really nice space alien. Like
the whole like setup for that. Well, because it's weird, because in the stuff that they've shown so far, like I think they've confirmed PJ's back. Like I know Jade's back.
Yeah, he is.
She's not, like evil now.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a bad guy at the end. I heard about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, in the new trailer, she's like, seems
playing
to be,
the game.
She's really good without the bit towards the end. But yeah, the whole thing in the new one seems to be that she's like some space pirate and she comes crashing in. She's got like a new vessel and stuff. It's just, I think it's going to encourage people to go back and play the original, which would make sense with their Ubisoft Pass.
Yeah.
Because they go, hey, you want to check out all of our stuff that we're now doing sequels to?
And then they'll maybe release it on the Pass, like maybe early or maybe.
They could do a Game Pass type thing, like an Xbox Game Pass type thing.
Maybe.
They're going to be like, pay us 20 quid as well with the Pass to get this game early.
Do you want some DLC? Maybe.
Shaky anger. Like,
do you guys want to?
Maybe it's just like a pre-order thing. I don't know.
It could be. It could be. It could be a thing. Do you guys want to see more Assassin's Creed? Because I don't. Do you?
Do you really think we'll get another Assassin's Creed?
I guess now that the Watch Dogs thing is real, I think that'll take up the space that Assassin's Creed would take, because I think that was why they pushed into Watch Dogs.
I think with Odyssey, I mean, if they want to have a little break, you know, at least they're leaving on a high. Odyssey looked beautiful.
Odyssey's great, yeah. Odyssey and Origins are both solid. They're very much content of the game, but like, yeah, they're absolutely humongous.
I'm really on the face with Assassin's Creed, the fence with Assassin's Creed, because like, I think that each one they do, they learn a bit more and add a little bit something in that's interesting again. Like Syndicate. I remember Syndicate was when I came back in after a little while. Black Flag was great. That's one of my favourite like Assassin's Creed games. Syndicate, we had the two people.
Jacob and Evie Fry.
Yeah, there we go. And the setting and everything. And then with these two, Odyssey and Origins, they got everything gets a little bit better, but it also gets very much bigger and comes a lot sooner. So I feel like if they give it a break for a little while, like, suck in all of the reviews and go, look, what can we do with this in a new place that's maybe a bit more controlled and detailed rather than catch every single crow that you can.
Like Odyssey's game world is absolutely humongous to the point where you just look at it and go, I'm never going to see all of this. And that was the thing, because they did Assassin's Creed Origins and then it was only like 6 months later or something we got Odyssey. And they're very similar. Their HUDs are very similar. The fonts used in them and stuff. It was almost, it felt like a massive DLC pack, but then it was a whole other new game. So I would rather they took more time and do something more story focused.
Exactly, I agree. That's what I want. I want them to have a really like tight narrative game that's just all about this. Maybe a longer story. I know the story's quite long, but like maybe a longer story that kind of tightens it in a little bit.
A more focused story. I was like, oh, I'm someone that needs to do every single side quest, and I just
you're the one doing all these side quests. Yeah, they keep making the games for you.
Yeah. Oh, I tried it in Syndicate, and I was like, no thank you.
That doesn't mean I like it. I got so distracted, compelled. So distracted from the main story in Origins, I didn't finish it and lost interest. So I would actually prefer, like, if they brought out, if my darling Cassandra had been in a game that was way more linear,
such an awesome character.
I would have been much more interested in it. So
did you play the DLC with the?
I didn't play Odyssey.
Okay,
no, it's too big. It's intimidating. Sometimes the girl. Anyway,
there's a hell of a lot going on. Say that Atlantis is in the DLC, and it's really dumb, in a really fun way, but it's really dumb.
Okay, I mean, dumb is.
That was good. But what I was going to say with Assassin's Creed is that when that thing first started out, I know that they moved away from this, but they had that whole, you know, Desmond was learning to be an assassin in the future and whatever, and they just sort of like pivoted away from it. They killed him off, and then it was like, you know, in Assassin's Creed 3, you did a couple of levels where you played as him in the modern day. But do you think they would eventually do an Assassin's Creed just set in the modern day with all those mechanics in New York City?
No, why not? What's the point in that?
Because you can kill the dude in Wall Street. You can kill all the men.
I think it would be really disappointing. I think it'd be a good idea, but I think it'd be really disappointing to load up an Assassin's Creed game and not be playing as someone badass from the past. Like,
I want to jump around New York.
But there's so many more fun things you can do, like in the past. There's so many games that do all the modern
stuff. I want Japan or China or something
that. Yeah,
so but I admit, like, what you're proposing would be something different, and different is good.
But not as an Assassin's Creed game, though.
I would do a half and half. I would have it where you do things in the past that directly affect things in the future. Like, you do it in AC2. Like, Desmond, like, leaves something for himself in the past and then goes back to that spot in the future and it's waiting for him.
Yeah, so that is Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I would love more stuff like that. I think that they've moved away from the time travel-y type stuff, and they just gave you, like, Odyssey and Origins, it was like you're just in the past. I know that they brought I forget what called the new character they brought back, but
there was that scientist last
which her stuff was really well done. It's just that it wasn't like a 50-50 split. Like, I want like a something more set in the present day kind of thing.
Cool.
Another thing for Ubisoft, which is the most annoying thing in the world, is that they won't release the Splinter Cell. They've got the keeps leaking, it's everywhere. It's like, oh, you can pre-order it, here's a pre-order bonus, and then the next thing is the dude from Kotaku being like, oh, it's not gonna happen. What is it? Is it going to happen or not? Why not,
Scott's
mate?
Really passionate about Splinter Cell.
Like, me and you and love Splinter Cell, and they keep teasing it. One of the devs was like, oh, we're working on a thing. And then someone went, does that mean you're doing the thing that you just said? He went, oh, no, it was just a joke. Why are you joking about that?
Don't toy with my emotions.
Yeah, because, either do it or don't.
Because he was joking about it because it's actually not a joke, and they actually are working on it, but they want you to be surprised.
But
it,
why would Kotaku, why would Jason Schreier say that it weren't for a disappointment?
Because they're surprised.
I don't know. There's like three things that were lining up for it all to be finally true. Because the last Splinter Cell was in 2013, for God's sake.
Do you know what? Sometimes you just need to let something rest in peace.
It's been resting in peace for years.
You can't just dig it up again.
This is me dragging it back up.
Come on.
Live again. Do you guys care about the cell?
I think if they get enough like sort of people going like, where's my Splinter Cell?
That was literally me this morning. Just give me the thing. So yeah, what do you guys think of Splinter Cell? Did you ever play them?
No, I do not. Again, not my, not massively my thing. Dibbed and dabbed in it. But I don't know. Proper like stealthy military, like put your night vision goggles on and run around and ain't my bag. Like, like fantasy and swords and magic. Like that's my thing. But yeah, no.
Do you want some thermal vision?
Yeah, nah. Watching you type it the other day. It was talking about Splinter Cell the other day. Absolutely typed as fast as I could. Get going. Splinter Cell, and it just popped me like, oh,
Splinter Cell.
To be fair, I mean, Rich, what do you think of the super sleuthing with the gadgets and the gun that fires the little electric things that electrocute people?
I'm really sorry, man.
What the hell? I'm the same.
I had the first Splinter Cell on the original Xbox and I loved it.
That's good. But that was good.
That was at a time when I was into like any and every game. Right. But no, I really did like the original Splinter Cell, but just then discovered fantasy.
Yeah.
And that's been me since.
I love you some fun too.
It's science fiction where it's like a bit more science fiction-y rather than just, woo, I'm a little military man. Like, just doesn't tick my boxes. Like.
To be fair, some of the plot lines they did was like a little bit more crazy, but they never did like Call of Duty future warfare things. But
I think one thing's for sure is it would make a lot of people very happy. So yes. I really hope it does get teased. Yeah. That would be
probably never going to happen ever again.
The secondhand hype off you would just be like, oh, chef's
You'll
kiss,
hear me
like,
scream if it's real. Because if they just knock the lights out and just do the goggle noise, which you guys might not even know, I don't know. But if they just do the high pitched noise, I'll just go, and that'll be it.
Along with it.
We all just get a text at like 11 o'clock at night, just Scott going,
it is, I am the goggle noise. Like, that's what I've become. So to wrap up, we've got, we can talk about some Bethesda stuff quickly because they really don't seem to have a whole lot that they're going to show.
I'm emotional about their thing that they're going to do because I feel like it's going to be nothing that I want to see. And I'm I'm here, I'm waiting. Elder Scrolls 6, please.
I don't know why they've booked out to do a conference when they don't seem to have anything. Just Doom, though? Doom's the thing that they've put on those three big buildings that we keep seeing before June. And so, before the conference itself. So I think they'll do gameplay demo for Doom. But again, that's not them. They're just publishing it. So, like, what have they actually got? They can go, Starfield's still happening, I guess.
Yeah.
Scrolls are still happening,
that's
I guess.
That's it. It's going to be another just logo? Blades updates.
Oh, Blades. Do you guys play Blades? What?
Fallout 4 on the Switch.
Yeah. If they did New Vegas on the Switch, then fine, I'm back in. But
New Vegas remastered.
Yeah, if you New Vegas remastered and it's on the Switch, fine.
Oblivion remastered.
But even then,
that would be really good, actually. I was too busy being emotional. So I was like,
what we want. Is there any rumors in there that say that we might get a teaser for Elder
There's
Plus
nothing
6,
for Bethesda. No? They've just said, yeah. Like Todd Howard's been like, we're not going to show Elder Scrolls 6 because we already jumped the gun by showing it last year. So it's what are you even going to do
Rustled
for half an hour?
My jimmies. Rustle them up. Like, don't. And we all know they're working on it. We all know it's going to come at some point. Don't show the title when it's going to take another 6 years to come out. Like, don't do that.
But that was
the people.
I mean, even if they've only just done a little bit of it so far, I don't care if it's your work in progress. I just want to see it. I want to see how you're doing. Yeah.
I think at this stage, that's the thing. If you already admit that they jumped the gun by just showing the name of it with the logo last time, then maybe they just want to put their heads down and wait until there's something worthwhile showing, which in that case, don't book an E3 slot.
I know. That's, unless it's like a 10-minute confidence.
I think we'll be in for like stuff like, I mean, potentially Evil Within 3 might get announced because Shinji Mikami is
I think they can
totally treat it as a publisher showcase because they're publishing a lot of stuff now.
Yeah,
that was rumored. Evil Within 3 was mm-hmm. rumored. Oh, I'd quite like that.
Give me
that would be good.
Evil Within Game is brilliant, by the way, if no one's played Evil Within 1
oh,
and 2.
Oh, so good, so underrated. I think yep. people forget how good they are.
They're like the spiritual continuation of Resi 4, like before mm. they went all more actiony and stuff.
And I haven't
like,
played Resi 4, so
oh no, not this again. Final Fantasy 7. But yeah, so it's like Evil Within 3 could potentially get announced, and then I don't know what else they've got like lined up, whatever, as a publisher. Quake maybe.
It's I just care too much about Starfield and Elder Scrolls 6 to be excited about anything else. Anything they say now, I'm like, I'm disappointed. Well, if it's know, not those two.
We do know that we're getting Starfield first, like obviously. Yeah. So it depends how long that's
might
been
get a teaser for that.
I mean, I've been writing about, I've covered Starfield before for a good 3 or 4 years. Like that name leaked out years ago, so I don't know if they've been working on it for this whole time. So maybe I think they might do a thing where they're like Fallout 76 content's coming.
I don't think even Bethesda are that clueless. Like,
well, you say that, right? But Todd Howard was just in an interview the other day where he was like, "Yeah, we knew it was. We were struggling to get it work before launch, and it's the criticism is well deserved." So, it's like, well, why did you release this then?
No, but, good for him being honest.
Yeah. Kind of. It's so, I don't know, it points to, like you said, like a sort of an awareness of what they're putting out there. But I think they still believe in their own product.
Yes.
So I think if his whole sort of movement is just to kind of go, okay, 76 is worth yeah. playing, here's some new stuff, then they can do that.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like Starfield leaked ages ago because there's all these theories about like the Fallout and the Oblivion universes being connected and it happened to be this thing.
I like
and
that.
Yeah, it's a really neat theory and I want to see it happen. But I don't know. It's going to take years before it comes out again. So even seeing it, I don't know. I get really upset when I think see things too far in advance. Mm. So I'm like, please, I need it.
I think
now.
They did it for the sake of the good press last year because they didn't have that yeah. much stuff to show off, like other that was coming soon, other than 76. But now that they've done that, they've yeah. pretty much played their cards. So whether they play them again, then maybe. And the last two things I've got down, the first one is just Cyberpunk 2077, which we know is going to be there. And we know it's going to be played, that there's going to be gameplay sequences.
Whose conference would that be at?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. CD Projekt Red just said that they were going to be there and they're going to be showing new gameplay, but they didn't say for who. It has to be Microsoft, assumedly. So, what were you thinking?
I was just asking the question.
Okay, you were going to say, oh no, I've heard that it's going to be like a Ubisoft conference.
It's a Switch exclusive drop then.
But yeah, apparently they've lined up some new gameplay sequences or something. But last time they did that just for the people that were in attendance and they didn't put them online. So
okay, it might just be in the expo hall.
Yeah, I mean, I have to assume that there'll be some sort of stage demo. Like we saw that 50-minute thing last year, so assumedly they're further along now.
There has got to be because they're going to do a release date for it. So I feel
you
like
they're going to get a release date.
I'm 100% in belief of the rumor for the release date coming out. I think they're going to slap that up on the big screen. I'm going to be running around screaming. Like, I'm excited for it.
I'm pretty excited. I guess the E3 will be the stage to do it, but like
CD
Projekt's whole like ethos at the minute is that we'll tell you when it's ready. So like they don't bow to no E3, man.
But there has been a big swirling cauldron with the salt sprinkled in that they are going to reveal the release date at this E3.
For the rest of this year or 2020? Or just at some point?
Well, it's supposed to be from the previous rumours where it's been like, oh, they've had this grant until this date, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be this year, but I think it's just going to be the release date this year and it's going to come out early quarter next year.
To be fair,
you know,
yeah, I might not have believed that like until Death Stranding just dropped is going to drop
that's
in November.
Thing.
And I'm like,
I was
anything
gonna say,
can happen
like
now.
Stranger things have happened. They literally just like 2 days before or something were like, by the way, Death Stranding reveal in 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah.
And he's like, oh, I turned that whole thing around in 3 years. And it's like, okay, I guess like these amazing things can't happen.
Yeah.
The last thing I've got down is just Rocksteady's new game, which is potentially Batman, Superman, something, because they haven't done a game since 2015.
Where's Ewan when you need him?
Where is Ewan when you need him?
Well,
but still, you guys like the Batman. Batman's.
Yeah, he's all right.
Superman.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't you, Batman? Maybe. I do. I mean, like, the stuff like Arkham Knight in 2015, like, I don't like the direction the Arkham series went overall. I don't think it should have gone open world. I thought it was better when it was... Did you guys play Asylum in Arkham City and stuff?
I played the first one.
Right.
That was Arkham Asylum, wasn't
yes.
it? Yeah, I played that.
So that was, like, in 2009. And, like, that was, like, so atmospheric, and they led you from, you know, one really great set piece to another. And then after that, they just got more and more strung out and more spaced out and everything. So, like, yeah, there was a rumor for a while that they were going to do this game called Batman Arkham Insurgency, and then there was an Arkham Crisis rumor.
And it was going to happen. have the Court of Owls.
The Court of Owls, yeah, which is like, yeah, like one of Bruce's like best villains in the new canon. Newer canon.
Is it these guys that are doing the Wonder Woman like Amazonia?
Well, so that came from the Warner Brothers Montreal, because when the Arkham series was in full flow, Warner Brothers asked the Warner Brothers Montreal substudio to do another Arkham game, which became Arkham Origins. So you've kind of got Rocksteady and Warner Brothers Montreal both doing DC themed things.
That's the one.
So then Warner Brothers Montreal at one point were working on a Suicide Squad game, which got canned, assumedly because the movie completely tanked. And then they apparently had a Wonder Woman game, which didn't come to fruition. But there's been years of stuff. So it's like something is in there.
Because we theorized for ages that it was a Superman game. But I think Superman.
That stuff kept leaking as well.
Yeah, Superman would be a difficult one to make because I remember talking about that.
But one of the things with that was that they were going to take the Arkham style combat and stretch it out like in terms of like a mid-air thing. And you'd be slamming dudes through buildings and you'd pick up a building and throw it in another building.
Is this the year? Is this when we finally find out?
I hope so. But I don't know. At this stage, it's like Splinter Cell. Year after year after year, there's all these things. So, it's definitely going to be there. And then it's just not. Do you want the Batman, though? Do you want to see him?
Batman is inevitable. Like, Batman is, Batman is eternal. Like, that's all it is. Like, to me, I'm just like, oh, good. Nice. Another one. Keep coming. Come on.
With big R-Pats getting signed on, why not dive in and just do a big picture just saying, by the way, Batman games also coming too, maybe.
To be fair, that would be very neat. I'd quite like that. I'd back a little R-Pats Batman duality.
Get him to walk out and announce it.
So
these are all our sort of rumors and leaks and all those different things for E3. You can find us on Sunday night for the Microsoft conference. I'll be me and Jules at 9 p.m. on UK time. For now though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast, and I've been your host, Scott Tailford. I almost messed it up.
Who are you?
Joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Thanks for listening.
And Ash Millman.
Goodbye. Also thanks for listening.
I'll catch you next time. Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.